أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين
وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صادق الوعد الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ بوأنا لإبراهيم مكان البيت ألا تشرك بي شيئا وأن طهر بيتي للطائفين والقائمين والركع السجود صدق الله العظيم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, and when we prepared for Ibrahim the place of the house and commanded him not to associate any deity with me and to purify my house for those who stand and those who go around it and those who bow down and prostrate. The mention of Allah's house in the Qur'an is linked very closely and intimately to the most fundamental of all of the teachings in Allah's book, which is the teaching of Tawheed, the commandment to Ibrahim alayhi salam not to associate any deity with God is linked closely to the building of the house itself. Now this great commandment, which is of course one of the pillars of Islam, sometimes called the tamamul Islam, the completion of one's Islam, is linked to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and linked to times even more ancient and unimaginable, even to a time before time itself. But we know that the purpose of it is to purify ourselves. Just as the function of the outward, of the imam in society, Ibrahim was just such an imam, is to purify the earth of all that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and particularly the signs and symbols of shirk and ignorance. So also the function of the place that is purified is to purify us, and to purify our inward lives of everything that distracts us from the remembrance of the one true God. The Hajj is a purification, which means it is a source of forgiveness. And it means it's the most precious thing in the whole world. There's a hadith, a sound hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim says, Hajjun mabrura khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. A hajj that is correctly and acceptably performed is better than the whole world and what it contains. And in another, no less sound hadith, we find that al-hajjul mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. A hadith correctly and acceptably performed has only paradise as its reward. And again, another sound hadith. Man hajja falam yarfuth walam yafsuq kharaja min dunubihi kayawmi waladatu ummu. Whoever performs hajj and does not vitiate the hajj with corrupt talk and does not violate the principles of the hajj departs from his sins as he did on the day when his mother gave birth to him. In other words, he is born again, literally free of the accumulated dirt that had built up over the days and the years. This is why it's tamamul Islam, the fifth pillar, the completion of Islam. Now we're told that in the sanctuary, may Allah increase it in honor and beauty and in the number and sincerity of its visitors, that the sanctuary contains ayatun bayyinat, clear signs, maqamu Ibrahim. The first of them is the standing place of the patriarch himself, alayhi salam, of Ibrahim. The first one truly to build it up, and the great warrior against the idols, despite the fact that this brought him exile and loneliness. Great warrior of the Tawheed. And his purification of the house is, of course, mirrored, and it's an anticipation of the final purification, which was the purification accomplished by the Blessed Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when triumphantly on the day of the conquest, he entered the sanctuary, and all of the idols, as Ibn Hisham records, fell down on their faces. Now we know that the last verse of the Holy Quran to be revealed was Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum. Today I have completed for you your religion. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have perfected my blessing upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-Islam dina, and I have been satisfied with Islam as your religion. The very last time that the revelation came was on the Hajj, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي يَوْمِ عَيْدَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ. This verse came down on a day that was a double Eid, يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ وَيَوْمِ جُمُعَةِ. It was the day of Arafah and the day of Jumu'ah. Day blessed indeed. And that was the completion of the religion, which came about at the final pilgrimage, the Hajjat al-Wada, of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aynatun bayyinat, clear signs. And another of them, perhaps the symbol of the whole ceremony's mystery, is Al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, which as a hadith narrates is Yaqutatun min yawaqitil jannah, the jewel from paradise. Everything about the Hajj is a mystery, but a mystery whose value is known to those who have approached it. Everyone who has made Hajj will know the difference in his state between the time when he arrived and the time when he left. Will know the mysteries of the obstacles that line his way, inwardly and outwardly. Will understand why the ulama of tafsir, when they speak of his word tabaraka wa ta'ala, la aqudanna lahum siratakal mustaqim, this is where the shaitan, after being banished, says, I shall certainly ambush them on your straight path. The ulama of tafsir says, this means tariqu Makkah, the road to Makkah. Both the physical road, which we find so many excuses to postpone and not to tread, and also the inward road to the meaning, the haqiqah, the sirr of the Hajj. This is the place where the back of the shaitan is broken. Never, according to a hadith, is he seen more depressed and more broken than on the day of Arafah. But the black stone is the greatest of these mysteries. How they work, why they work, is probably veiled for us eternally. However, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to kiss the black stone. كان يقبله كثيرا. وكان عمر رضي الله عنه يقبله. And Sayyidina Umar used to kiss it also. فقال إني لا أعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. I know that you're just a stone, you can't help or harm. And but for the fact that I saw God's Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, kissing you, I wouldn't have kissed you. ثم بكى حتى على نشيبه. And then he cried until his sobs were quite audible. فالتفت إلى ورائه فرأى عليا رضي الله عنه. So he turned around then and he saw Ali رضي الله عنه. قال يا أبا الحسن هنا تسكب العبرات وترفع الدعوات. O Abu Hassan, he says, this is where the tears fall and the prayers rise up. فقال علي رضي الله عنه يا أمير المؤمنين فلتضر وتنفع. O commander of the faithful, because Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه was the Khalifa at that time, it does help and it does harm. قال كيف, he said, how? قال لما أخذ الله الميثاق على الذرية كتبه عليهم كتابا ثم ألقمه الحجر. When Allah took the Mithaq, the great covenant, from all of the Dhurriya, it's described in the Quran, this is the day of Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? When we all bore witness and we made the Shahada to Allah's Wahdaniyya and were as far as any being can be from any shirk, or any dirt, or any falsity in behavior, or in aqidah, we all said, Bala shahidna, yes, we bear witness. When Allah took this covenant from all mankind, He wrote it down and He fed it, al-qamar al-hajar. He fed it to the black stone. فَهُوَ يَشْهَدُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِي بِالْوَفَاءِ وَلِلْكَافِرِي بِالْجُحُورِ. And it bear witnesses to the believer to his faithfulness. He is faithful to that first moment. His first conscious affirmation before being given a body in the world was La ilaha illallah. And it bears witness to the rejection that comes from the kafir. The kafir who thinks the world, matter, space, time, my consciousness come from nowhere and they're going nowhere. That's the state of kufr, the state of shirk, the only unpardonable sin, because it makes us beneath the level of the human. And that's the meaning. That's the meaning and the importance of Al-Hajar, of the black stone. So many signs. This is our great festival coming up, alhamdulillah, the Abrahamic festival, the festival when we symbolically give and give and give. Somebody else's festival is also coming up. And we can see the signs of it all around. Lots of money being made out of tinsel, holly, artificial trees, barely conscious carols. A strange kind of aberration is around the corner. A strange way of celebrating the Prophet who, almost uniquely amongst the Prophets, was the Imam of Zuhud, of doing without, of renunciation. A strange materialist celebration of one who rejected all material attachments. Look at the difference between the purity of our Eid and the purity of what it celebrates in the Hajj that leads up to it, with the renunciation, Abrahamically, of all forms of paganism, the real Tathir of the sanctuary, and look at the pollution of another festival by forms of paganism which after 20 centuries are still very conspicuous, in fact seem to dominate the imagery. The 25th of December, not a Christian festival, not even Roman, it goes right back to the ancient Babylonians, the people of Babylon. They celebrated the 25th of December as the birthday of their goddess, Isis. And they celebrated the festival by giving presents to each other, by eating too much, and by getting drunk. And this moved into the Roman Empire, where the emperors were very happy to celebrate the Saturnalia around the time of the winter solstice, where similar things were practiced. An indulgence, a form of Ghafla, the opposite of what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was so deeply rooted a festival in the Christian mind that when the empire was Christianized, that Pope Julius I, in the year 350, decided that rather than get rid of this paganism, they would actually digest it. And so he decided, actually, the birthday of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is going to be the 25th of December. Christians hadn't celebrated it before that time. And that's hardly surprising. If you look at the gospel accounts, you'll see that it's very unlikely that he would even have been born, alayhi salam, in December. Shepherds didn't watch their flocks by night in December around Bethlehem. The weather simply didn't permit it. Modern historians think probably he was born in the autumn, perhaps in September. Neither is there any evidence for all of the other ingredients of the familiar gospel stories. Did the Romans command everybody to go to their hometown if there was a census? That's what the Gospels say. That's certainly not what any historian of the Roman Empire would say has ever been recorded. It seems to have been made up. Was Herod indeed the ruler? And was Tiberius the Roman Emperor at the year zero? Well, certainly not. Probably he was born, alayhi salam, maybe 6 or 7 BC. The story is muharraf, it's distorted and still disputed. What is clear is that what is at the center of this festival of the 25th of December is a pagan festival, a pagan ritual. And the great tragedy of those people is that they have never developed the beautiful Islamic distinction between bid'ah and sunnah. They have no concept of unlawful innovation. They bring things in and it doesn't matter if it's the festival of Isis. The Christmas tree, which was the symbol of the pagan northern Europeans, in front of which they would torture their sacrificial victims, they bring it in. The holly, whose berries were thought to be the foods of the ancient Saxon gods, they're quite happy to adorn their homes even their churches with it. All of this is bid'ah. But we have in our pure Eids, in our pure festivals, in the pure Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a complete distancing from even the distant, distant aroma and stench of shirk and all that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask the Muslims, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the Muslims the true spirit in this season, which is the spirit of Tawheed and the spirit of giving, not idolatry and self-indulgence. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وآخر الصلاة.